Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary makes atonement this hour so that you can draw nigh unto us in condescending your majesty coming down. We're grateful for that. And we're happy, Lord, blessed people, that we know that we can stand in your presence and not be condemned. Lord, we've already seen the revelation of ourselves unto sin and unto death. But we have seen the greater revelation of you who came to undo sin and death and overcome hell and the grave. And we know that that's our portion at this hour, and we're very happy for it. We know, Lord, we're not going by sensation, we're not going by feeling, we're not going by experience, we're going by the Word of God, and we have and are becoming the very experience of the Word of God, as the prophet said, that manifestation for this hour. And we claim it this afternoon, Lord, we do not turn it aside any longer on our merits, because we don't have any. We're taking it, Lord, on your merits, and we appreciate that very much. Now help us in the study of your word. May we have a blessed time together in all portions of both services. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm sort of in betwixt and between, because sometimes I don't feel like using notes. Most of the time I feel like using notes. And another thing is, coming back from Beaumont, I simply can't get over being tired. It seems like even my memory's blanking out on me. I get a mental block to try to remember something simple, like a name or something. And not that all names are simple, you know. I mean, Brezhnev is a pretty tough name, except that I heard it so many times on the radio. But it's very difficult, and get very, very tired. And so I don't know what I'm up to this afternoon, and in physical ways and also in spiritual ways. And by that I mean that, I'll explain it to you. Now, I'm not being negative, but you can't help but be negative sometimes, express the positive. Appalled at the expression on people's faces as I discussed with them God and the prophet and the ways of God. And I know part of the problem was that they were sitting there saying, well, you're not telling us anything new. That is not what this message is all about, not something new. See, John said, we're not here to give you a new message. It's that message that was left unrevealed. And many people in listening to me take all the time I possibly could take in showing them that, look, if God is on the scene, there's got to be a prophet. And if there's a prophet, there has got to be God. And the battle is engaged at this point that the presence of God is nothing but a doctrine. Now, you see why I'm saying negative. You've got to understand I've got to be negative to be positive. And the positive thing is they say we believe a prophet. Look, I don't want to hurt anybody's faith. And I don't want to be judge of anybody, because that's not my job. But if you can't get this, you don't believe in a prophet. You can't, because God's got to be there. And it's not something that's old hat. It's something that is getting more and more current because the fight has been engaged, as much as I didn't want it. As much as I did not desire myself, I've gone to many churches. And I preached his presence in an explanatory and an exploratory fashion. It has never caused a problem until it went on the land of those who are still in Pentecost. Amen. You getting right now? Now, this has caused the same problem that when phosphorus hits water. Enough phosphorus and enough water, and boom! She'll blow the place to smithereens. Now we've got the water, which is the peoples. And we've got the phosphorus, which is light. Phos meaning light. And when it hits the people, boom! Huh? Now, there's two kinds of water in people. Those people that receive phos, the light, the phosphorus, they will become iridescent and illuminated. And they will glow. See? There's a big difference from a glare to a glow. Huh? The prophet said so. The others will blow up. Now, look, I'm sorry. But if you teach, you teach. And you can't help where the chips fly. Now, I'm not saying anything against the Beaumont Church. Get this flat. I talked to Brother Bell about it. He sat there appalled that the people, many of them, were deadpan. Look, if he is here, and you are privy to him and his revelations, which will put you in a resurrection, you don't sit here deadpan under my ministry. I don't care who you are. You better not, or you and I are going to have a talk. There's the woodshed out there. We haven't got it quite ready, but we'll be heading for it. Because listen to me. We are in the most glorious moments of church history. From the Garden of Eden, where those things which have never happened are beginning to happen. See? Now, we're not going by emotion. We are going by revelation. Revelation can bring emotion, but revelation per se is not emotion. People are mixed up on this the same as they're mixed up on repentance. Repentance is not emotion. Godly sorrow brings repentance, but godly sorrow is not repentance. Godly sorrow is godly sorrow. Repentance is changing of the mind. And the least emotion you can have in your mind as you peruse, carefully scrutinize, gaze at fixedly the word, the better chance you have for really getting emotionally aroused. Now, don't worry, just let me read it here. We're getting some scripture in a minute or two. I'm just going to talk a bit, and if you feel like asking questions, we're going to throw everything wide open from now on until I get everybody in here perfectly oriented to what we're getting into. Because remember, death is separation from God and disorientation. Do you hear me? Death is separation and disorientation. We are now back into orientation by no longer separation but union.
Amen. Praise God.
See? So I wasn't too negative. I was jolly well positive. Now, here's, I saw a strong angel proclaiming after this book was presented, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals? And he went, oh. There's nobody there. Their hearts fell in their boots. Great emotion. Everybody got to weeping. John began to weeping and a crying. Suddenly one of the elders said, weep not. Behold the lion, the tribe of Judah. Half revealed, opened the book and loosed the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts of the Lamb had been slain, so on and so on. And he came and took the book out of the right hand and sat upon the throne. Now, in here, we have, before the opening of the seals, a condition of manifested sorrow, of deep emotion. And it didn't do one bit of good. Because they could sorrow all they want, and sorrow is not what brought forth the Lamb. To open the book. Now, there isn't one of you sitting here today that hasn't been sorrowful for your sins because you got caught. It wasn't that you were too sorry for your sins, because sin is a lot of fun under the right conditions. Huh? Come on, we're not. You know, don't be Pentecostal on me. Years ago, a Pentecostal preacher said, why, he said, the sinner isn't happy. And I said, the sinner isn't happy. One day I realized he's hog happy. And I thought of all the junk I believed all my life because some stupid big mouth preacher gets up and won't preach the word of God. It says the pleasures of sin.
Amen.
It's whoopee.
You bet your sweet life sin is fun, but it's getting caught. Now, you can only have godly sorrow for sin if the Holy Ghost ever grants you repentance, ever grants you that one thing to make you stop and say, look, it wasn't any fun, it isn't any fun. There's a void down in here. Something's got to be, you know. Now, this fellow here was sorrowing, but it was a useless sorrow. If there's no man to open the book, there's no man to open the book. You go down to the grave crying. You go to the other side crying. You go right down life crying. And the Lamb came on the scene and took the book and opened it. And from that time on, there was a jubilee. Heavens erupted. Earth erupted. Over what? A Lamb opening the book. And when that Lamb opened the book, John, as Brother Branham says, I think about page 112 in the seal book, he said John looked behind the curtain of time. And in there, he saw the bride. Everybody rejoicing. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousand, thousands. The tremendous, huge gathering of the people of God. As soon as the seals were opened, John was able to see consummation. Do you see consummation? All you've ever seen so far is your dreams fall on the ground. The marriages that started so wonderful, they go start a potty. Yeah, sure, you nobody's perfect here, except perfect idiots. We can bypass that perfection. But we're stuck with it. We can't bypass it. Look, everything is in itself a perversion. It can't be helped. Everything is in a state of disorientation. But with the opening of the seals, you're looking at a consummation where God doesn't only undo that which was wrong, but He takes you far beyond what He ever started there in the Garden of Eden. Because with the Garden of Eden and the fall of man and redemption, He had something else in mind that's a billion times greater. Now, you're looking at it today. See? Now, as we look at this, we have got to understand that the emotion, the true emotion, can only come after a true revelation. And the true revelation depends on your minds. Now, I know right there is where the Pentecostals, all the rest, say, if I don't believe that, well, I don't care what they believe. I'm telling you the truth. I don't care what anybody believes. If you don't think that's right, let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we'll read what it says here. Verse 13, not as Moses which put a veil over his face, the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to did that which is abolished. Their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. Hey? They were consumed with an emotion. What was the emotion that blinded their minds? Way back there when they saw the pillar of fire and they heard the thunderings and they knew and they had the chance, the opportunity, they were in the very presence of God. They said, no, 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 no. Why the shut up? And look and listen. But it's always been that way. So they said, okay. Moses, you go tell God we don't want to see or more, don't want to hear anymore. God said, that's wonderful. That's exactly what I'll do. I'll listen to him. And he set a course in history. And that course in history is set until after the resurrection. See? Those people messed it up. Now, our minds get in our way. Now it says right here, nevertheless, when it'll turn to the Lord. What? That's the mind and the heart. But the heart cannot turn to the Lord until the mind turns to the Lord. Now it tells you how it's going to be done. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now it says, if Brother Branham were here, he would take you after the church fell on the ground and begin to come back. He would take you from Luther to Wesley. and Wesley to Pentecost. And he would tell you that that was the return of Christ in clouds. Now, you got shocked at that, didn't you? Did you know the prophet said that? That he's coming in clouds, or clouds of glory? And he categorically mentioned that that glory, which we know was started back there with Luther, began bringing him into preeminence in waves. And he said that Luther knew about and looked for the pillar of fire. I want to know where you got that in history. He said Wesley, Calvin. We know some Pentecostals figured it. Now, was Brother Branham saying the age did? Or was he saying the man did? What was he saying? Well, I categorically tell you, he said Luther's. Look for the pillar of fire. And Wesley, pillar of fire. Calvin looked in these men of God. But only this age sees it. So what you are seeing here is the glory which only the pillar of fire can bring. Which is the change from mortality to immortality, to the specific copy of Jesus, who is a copy of God. God rolled off one copy of himself. That was Jesus. Now he's in the process of the New Testament bride rolling off many copies. That's right. Everyone is going to be an attribute. Only he, Jesus, is the fullness of the attributes of God. The rest of us are partial attributes. So that we as a body can form the whole. The same as Jesus did, all the attributes being over the face of time. Now, this one, in whose image we are to finally come, has been coming up from the death of the church, which was caused by a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false word. Like three kind of believers. Not really. God in a sort of a perfection. Three things. They missed it. They went to the grave. The church went to the grave. Now, it begins to come back. Now, how does the church come back? Well, God, the resurrection. He's going to start raising her. So, beginning to raise the church, he starts with justification. Now, that was Christ beginning to appear in the church. That's the first wave of glory. Under Luther comes the second wave of glory, a cloud of glory. He is appearing more and more. And as Brother Branham said, the glory of Luther was so far ahead of Catholicism, and the glory of Wesley, Methodism, is so far ahead of Lutherans, and Pentecost, so far ahead of that. And we are ahead of it all. You say, why? It has nothing to do with us. We simply are the privilege of being here at the time that he is coming in clouds of glory. See? So that, what? Are you following me? Now look, I jumped very fast from point to point, but I try to keep a continuity here. Now we're talking about this one that's appearing. So that under Pentecost, he comes further still. See? Now then, after Pentecost, you come all the way. Now, I got to keep seeing certain things in mind, because when you don't use notes, it's rough. But look, at Pentecost, the pillar of fire came and came over the building where 120 names were. Now, names are names, but it's 120 people, don't ask me. I don't remember Brother Brown said exactly 120 people were there, 120 names, forget it. Whoever was there was there. All right. And a tongue of fire came from that cloud, and he divided himself into the people. But he didn't divide all of himself into the people, because all the people weren't there. If 120 people could get all the Holy Ghost there was to be given, then you and I haven't got anything, and neither has anybody in between that age that died. And I do not even mean the age that died. I mean that first century. Because it didn't live to be 100 years old. John was the oldest, the whole bunch of 90-some years of age, or 99, he died. So therefore, he didn't divide himself completely, but he symbolically set himself as the one who was there, dividing himself, which would take place over roughly 2,000 years. Now, at that point, the one standing there begins dividing himself. All that there is to divide. Attributes. Now, the next generation, they receive the Holy Ghost. And the next generation receive. And in every church age, there is a measure of the Word and the Holy Spirit, which is actually the Holy Spirit in that Word, or that Word living by the Holy Spirit. Each age gets seven portions, and each generation, which is a new generation, starts every day with the birth of a baby. Whoever the elect are, they will have poured into them for roughly 2,000 years until there's no more to pour. Then if there's no more to pour, then he is standing here again. From the feet up. What was from the head down? From the feet up. Until once more the head stands there. So then, as it says in Zechariah, and don't steal my chair anymore, leave it up here front, and I won't have to yell so loud. Don't you leave it for the damn being, but next time bring my chair up here and leave it there. That's Brother Evans, the chair, but it's mine. He done lost it. If you want money for it, take it out of the treasury. Get another one just like it. Okay. That's off the tape, but we'll leave it on the tape. Zechariah chapter 4. Now, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, there isn't anything that anybody can do, and even the power of the Holy Spirit is completely minimized. Even the Spirit is stripped of dynamism of force. Because it's not by might nor by power. And the Holy Spirit has might and he has power. So therefore it is neither by those, but it is still by the Spirit. All right. Who art thou, great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. The headstone comes forth entirely by grace. The message of this hour is a message of grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord is saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hand shall finish it also. Now, in other words, it starts with grace and it ends with grace. It starts with the fullness and it ends with the fullness. And what was in the feet, which is cornerstone, is repeated in the head, which is capstone, which is spiritual. Now, read this, despise the day of small things, for they shall rejoice, and shall see the plumb in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. These are the eyes of the Lord. Now it tells you exactly what it says in the book of Revelation, which is over here in chapter 5. Let's go back and take a look at it. Now, in the sixth verse, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the beast stood a lamb. In the midst of the elders, and stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that go forth in all the earth. Now listen, this explains Zechariah. Who started it? The same one that finishes it. When did it start? On the day of Pentecost. When is it over? At the time the seals were open, and the seventh seal runs its course. See? Now, not all the way, just part of the way, because the seventh seal goes to the millennium. And down the road, actually, if you want to know chronology, the seventh seal takes place simultaneously with the end of the fourth seal, because it's under the fourth seal the bride is taken away. That's chronology. Now, you can see the one that starts it, ends it. The cornerstone and the capstone is the same. The fullness stood there, dividing himself, and there's nothing left to divide. His brother Branham showed that pyramid, statue of a perfect man. Now what was he doing? He was pouring into the bride that which had to do with the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now here's where everybody's getting mixed up. That's aligning themselves with what I, perhaps injudiciously, and perhaps even maliciously, and perhaps very truthfully, 100% right. I call the gates of hell. Now, you may be startled. That's fine by me. You just keep your startling under control, because I'm now going to read you something. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation then that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up that the kingdom... You ever lift up your heads, ye gates, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's also a picture of the ascent. Okay? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is King of glory. Now we're going to crown him at that time. In our time. He went up there with the resurrected dead from Jerusalem. They said, who is he? I'll tell you who he is, and he's with those, the gates, in where his name is placed. We are the gates where his name is placed.
Amen.
Then you tell me who the gates of hell are where the name isn't placed. Now, I'm rough as a cob here. I'm sorry. If you want to get offended and you think I'm negative, that's your business. You're just not part of this party. That's all. Have a good time. Think your own thoughts. But I'm throwing a little hallelujah party here today if you're catching on what I'm saying.
Amen.
You see, look. The time the gloves were off and really off. And they're off. Because I'm going to show you something here now. All right, now look. Here we are with his name. Remember, the bride has his name and nobody else has that name. And he has placed his name only in one gate. Now you say, okay, that's him who opens the door to all of us. That's exactly right. But remember, it says in the plural, gates. Lift up your heads, ye people, in whom he's placed his name. And Brother Branham categorically said, these people talk about being in Jesus' name where two or three are gathered. He said, that's not what it means. It means being in his name, not I gather in his name. Like we can gather here in the name of Grace Gospel Church. That's fine. That doesn't mean a thing. And you can gather in Jesus' name, and that doesn't mean a thing. But if you are in his name... There's a difference. Now, that's how it is to gather. Then it says right there, he has got to be in the midst of you. Now, there's a gathering every age. But at the end time, there's a gathering, an age, where Brother Branham categorically said, this is the time of invisible union. The time of the marrying going on. The time of the sealing in. So, therefore, it's the time of the husband picking up that virgin. Now, let's go back a bit to our thought here. I said, okay, this pillar of fire that came down, this one who said, look, let's go back to John 14 and just read it. You got it awful warm in here. You can turn your fire down and open some windows or something because it's too blistering hot. If you're cold now, my. You're worse shape than I am. I thought I was bad shape. Get a little fresh air in here. Now look, he said here, I'll pray, verse 16, I'll pray the Father to give me another company about you river. Now, he's the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he did not need him, but he know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's exactly true. He was dwelling in Jesus. He was dwelling with them. I'll not leave you, comforters, I will come to you. Now, just a minute. Did Jesus the man say this, or was that God in him? Now, Jesus the man did not come back. He hasn't come back yet. And he won't come back till he's seated on the white horse with the bride. That's far as we're concerned. He may appear to the Jews. That's good. Brother Brand said, so I'll leave that with the Jews. This is for us. Now, I'll come to you a little while and you'll see the world see me no more. You'll see me because I live, you'll live also. Now, he came back at Pentecost. Now, let's watch this. In that day, you'll know that I am in the Father and you and me and I in you. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, and it's true, that that was Pentecost. That was this hour and yet to be in the white throne judgment. Okay, now watch. He came back, not in human flesh, but veiled in a pillar of fire, and he dropped little flares upon each person. And they received a little flame, so to speak, the enlightenment, the Spirit of God, each one that was born at Pentecost. And this has gone on for 2,000 years. And now we're coming back to the place where there is no more. You see what I'm saying? Building from the feet up, the measure has come to where there is no more. Now, I'll get you a statue of perfect man pretty soon. Well, we'll go there right now, the statue of perfect man. Okay. Well, let me get it. Ephesians. Fourth chapter. Where he links the word to the Spirit. Now, he that descended. Now, let's read the ninth verse. Now, he that ascended. What is it, but he also descended first lower parts of the earth? Now, right now, how did he go down there? By Spirit. His body didn't go to lower parts of the earth. His body is right on top of the ground in a cave. Okay. Descended. He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above heavens that he might fill all things. Now, by the Spirit, he went into hell and preached. By the Spirit, he went into upper Sheol and tore the gates asunder and brought them out. Now it says he went up. Spirit. Not just body. Then it says he came back. He that descended is the same that ascended. So Jesus came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now you're dealing with Jesus, which is Jehovah's Savior. You're not dealing now with the body. You're dealing with Hebrews 13 and 8. The same yesterday and forever. You're dealing with the one in Revelation. He which was and is which is to come. Not he which was the dead and is alive forevermore. You're talking about Elohim. In contradistinction to the body. Now remember, Jesus was not his own father. I'm accused of preaching two gods. I was accused here, and I'm accused all over the country because they don't know. God can't be born. God can't die. See? They're the ones that are mixed up. They're Jesus only and don't know it. Because it isn't Jesus only, as though Jesus sits there and the Spirit goes out of him. He is a man. But he's a very special type man, which is a God man, because God was his father. He had a father. His brother Banner said, Jesus, in the spirit form, was Melchizedek, Jehovah's Savior. And he didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have beginning. He didn't have end. Jesus had father and mother and a beginning. He ain't got an end. So let's look at the picture. This one. Who in his attributes, those attributes were not a pillar of fire. And he can be anything he wants to be in his attributes. Because they're in there, only God knows how many attributes. He took upon himself a form and he made himself a body. Lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. So therefore the body was here on earth and God came into him at the river Jordan. Then in Gethsemane God left him. Then when he died, his spirit went back to God. God's spirit united came down with him. Preached the souls in prison. Emptied the upper Sheol. That is of those that were in Jerusalem. Because they're the only ones that came forth. They had to be there. That's why Joseph said, take my bones back. And Jacob said, take my bones back. And everybody said, listen, bury me right here. Because they knew by revelation that's where the resurrection would take place. All right. Now then, he gave some apostles. Now he tells you, to perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith. Now listen, he's talking about that one, see, over the ages, that is in a position until a certain time. Like you hire a person to fill a contract. When the contract is over and the job is done, the person's finished. You don't pay him any more wages. You don't have him there anymore. It's all over. Now, it's just not quite that simple here. But the idea is here. Now, when you come in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto measure, stature, fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Now listen, it tells you, bringing you to a place of maturity. This one that came back as the Holy Ghost is doing a work. Now, carried out every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftsmen, by the lying wake to the sea, holding the truth in love, grew up unto him in all things which he had, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, for that which every joint supplieth, according to the effect you're working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and self edifying in love. Now it tells you right here that what he is doing through the ages, he that was there at Pentecost, showing that he was going to have a bride, which was his body, he gave ministries which delivered the word. Which word would go to the place where no more word could be delivered, no more full of the Holy Ghost, because it was over. See, it was all over. Now, at that time, there would be a people who were absolutely mature, who could not be shaken by doctrine, which the first church age was shaken by doctrine. And from that time on, there has always been a perverted Jesus, a perverted spirit, and a perverted word. Not that they really were. It was in their minds. And that perversion made the word of God void, so it couldn't be fulfilled. And the word of God, I know you're thinking, you're saying, well, how do we ever get by? You just keep listening. See? The word of God is the promise of the resurrection. And there can't be one until you get back to that word. So therefore, when this word, the church lay in that ground, dying the same as Jesus died, buried in the ground, he first started to come forth in a spiritual resurrection and appearing amongst us in the first wave of glory, which was the Holy Spirit word getting us back to where we would come to maturity. Now, come on, what's maturity? There's nothing to it. I take a beautiful original seed of wheat, and I put it in the ground, and I let it properly fertilize it, and I water it with the right water, and the sun comes out, and it goes up, 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 and pretty soon I've got a lot of exactly what I buried. What I buried in a single form comes forth in the same form multiplied. That's maturity. See? All right. You come to maturity at the time Melchizedek visits his earth, and he's already done it. See, at the time that Elohim appears to the elect, at the time that a prophet stands here in order to reveal him. Now, what I'm trying to show you here is, over seven church ages, we have had the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And what has the baptism with the Holy Ghost done? I'll tell you what it's done. Let's look at the scripture. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Okay. Let's start at the fifth chapter. Now, he's taken the allegory in the fourth chapter. Abraham had two sons. And as Terry brought out, God said, take thy son, thine only son. He said, well, the other was a son. Don't you spit in God's face. Don't be a fool. You say, well, that's Abraham's seed. I'll join that. You go ahead. You be an Ishmaelite if you want. That's already been said. I never heard such a radical thing in my life and such a demeaning thing. I ain't going to take myself with Ishmael hogwash. Even if I was, I wouldn't recognize him. I got more brains than that. Amen. So you see, well, they say, well, the cop comes by and said, who robbed the store? I did. You're too busy running down the block. You got an ounce of brains. Ishmael, my foot. Stand fast, therefore, now. Here, but just allegory. All right. Many more of the children of she that is desolated than she that has a husband. Now, brethren, as Isaac, we are the children of promise. Now, Isaac was the child of promise, but Ishmael was not. So now you've got a promise. The promised seed. And that goes to Isaiah chapter 53. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. In other words, he's going to see his seed in the resurrection. And he'll be prolonged, which means many children. Adam has been prolonged. The serpent has been prolonged. Now God is going to be prolonged. Oh, that's nice. That's just not very nice. That's fantastic. Think that we're going to be in the place where the true seed doesn't have all these stupid coverings on and everything malicious and rotten and inbred sin and everything. We're going to be the true seed. Hallelujah. I can't wait.
Amen.
But I suppose I got to wait. But I'm going to tell you, I'm here under protest. That's why every baby comes in the world crying.
Amen.
They're here under protest. And they never stop howling to get out of it. I'm not going to stop howling either. All right. It says right here, cast out the bondwoman and her son. They are not going to be in the resurrection unto eternal life and the millennium. There's no way. Now he said to them, stand fast, liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What yoke of bondage? The minds. Cluttered up. Mixing law and grace. Now, you watch what's happening right against this message right today. They don't know what I'm saying, and I'm going to show it to you. Now, you keep this tape, and you better study this tape. See, I'm not wasting my time. I don't care if none of you make it, and I don't make it either. We are going to know the truth, bless God.
Amen.
And we're
going to
stand back and know somewhere there's a bride.
Amen.
That understands what we're talking about. You bet. Let's just have what's real amongst us, brother, sister.
Amen.
Let's have what's real. Or let's not have it. Who needs it? Fat. Come on. Behold, I, Paul, send you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again, every man's crucified, he's a debtor to do the whole law, because the law said circumcision, grace said baptism with the Holy Ghost, a free gift. Just repent, change your mind, and God grants you that, and you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God says, I do the rest. What more do you want for your nickel?
Amen.
Boy, we're in debt to trillions of years of hellfire and damnation. We're in debt to it. And he said, look, I'll just do it for you. The headstone, the same as the foundation, grace, grace, grace.
Amen.
Not law, 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 and works, works, worse. Now listen, I got every right to say what I want in this pulpit, and I'm saying it too. And when our little old laws are drawn up here, it's going to be where I've got the right to say anything I want to say under guidance. I'm not hitting anybody. I'm just telling you. Because this tape will go, boy, and she's going to go. Wise minded. That you look this thing right in the face and say, that's right. You won't go by emotion. We want a hoop-de-doo, hip or off spirit. We want to run. We want to dance. We want to talk in tongues. We want all that emotion. Now, Paul said, now hold it. I'm appealing to your minds. That you begin to say, just a minute. The law was until John. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Colossians says the law is finished. Let's go look at Colossians. I'll get back here. Oh, we got all days. You wish they'd have brought you. You'd be glad you didn't bring me the chair, but I might be fooled anyway, you bunch. Listen. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of Colossians, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the fullness of the body. All the attributes that could form a body were there. And you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. All right. In whom you're circumcised with the circumcision made of that hands and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, his cutting off. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen to him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Now, if you're truly forgiven, you're quickened. Can't help it. Oh, a lot of people aren't forgiven. They don't send your sins on beforehand. They keep them. Now listen, now, blotting out the handwriting ordinances which was against us. That was contrary to us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now listen. The legalists, the
7 days Adventists. They're Pentecostals. They'll all tell you, this means, oh, the terrible thing of washing the pots and the washing the pans and doing this and doing that. Listen to me. Oh, I'm going to be nasty. No, I don't want to be nasty. I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say this. Listen, I'll try to phrase it so I'm as nice as possible. How would you like to live under a condition? And this is a wild age in which we live where men and women are both prone to sexual exploits that are not only titillating in the flesh, but they are terribly ungodly because the intensity of the titillation and that which is deemed pleasure has gone to the place that even hell would vomit. But you knew today all you had to do was take a little lamb, cut its throat, sprinkle its blood, and wash a few pots and pans. How would you feel? Say, real good. David lusted and killed and brought forth a bastard baby, which God let die, because both he and she were married. It's the only true bastard there is. You've got to have two living couples, and they get together the wrong way. Read it yourself. Right, I got it right in the back of my Bible here, written in the copy notes, so people can answer your questions. Now listen. The washing of pots and pans was not against you, it was for you. What was against you? The Ten Commandments. God blotted out everything that was against us. And took it out of the way through the death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when he did, he didn't leave the desire in there to go out and take another man's wife. He put a desire in there to live pure. As Brother Branham said, to have your wives and live with them. And I don't find that too hard myself. I find it the best life under God's high heaven. I agree with the prophet when he said if a man could, God could give a better gift than a wife he'd have given it. There's nothing he'll ever touch it. You see what I'm saying? Let's go back to Galatians now. So we can get a little further here. I want you to see what we were saying here all along. Now, he said here, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be not otherwise minded, that he that troubled you shall bear his own judgment whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now he said, there comes a time when you stand with what the cross actually accomplished and what is yours through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and you will suffer at the hands of religious people. Now the cross blotted out the handwriting against us. It took away everything that was against it, which was the Ten Commandments and the moral offenses, and all those things went. And when you begin to talk about grace, people rise up because they don't understand grace. They only understand works. And that's not good. He said, what they were cut off was trouble you. What does the word cut off mean? Emasculated, castrated. Why? Because they got the wrong seed. The bride was impregnated with the wrong seed to begin with. Right after Pentecost. Wrong Jesus, wrong word, wrong spirit. Not that they were wrong. They were perverted in the understanding. They couldn't see clear anymore. If ye bite and devour one another, take heed to be not consumed one another. And it tells you, religious dog fights are the order of the day. Everybody said, well, with this is the last day message, how come they're fighting among you? How come there isn't? You've got to be crazy. If there's no fighting, you know jolly well everybody's dead.
Amen.
Sure. Let's get down where the nitty-gritty is. Come on. You're not on the other side of the resurrection. You're right here in the worst time of all. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he talking about? The rebirth. As against this. I don't care what you do.
I don't care what happens. The cross blotted out and made a way that you and I could be full of the Holy Ghost. So we could be absolutely pure by the blood. Couldn't put a finger on you because sin is scattered. See? Be ye holy, you vessels, for ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. The vessels are to be holy unto God. Now God purifies those vessels through the blood. See? What was against us is what lies in here. Our desires which have been perverted. There was a desire for Adam and Eve to bring forth children, but not by sex. Now with the perversion, all people want is sex. And when you think the situation over, what a baby does to a woman, what it does in a household, you wonder, you think, well, I could even forego sex to get rid of that stuff. It weren't for sexual desire, children would not be born. Now there was a desire of sex, which was pure sex, which wasn't physical intercourse. It was intercourse with each other through the Spirit unto God. Who would bring life in through the male and female with God, then God would provide a body. Man provided the bodies. Got out of order. So God has to provide the Holy Spirit to bring him back. A blood sacrifice. Now at the end time, God will provide the body. So God does everything. We're not going to have these same bodies. Don't kid yourself. We'll look like we are, but we're going to have different bodies. Phew, you bet your life. Oh man, don't talk about that except talk the right way. Now hold your finger there. Let's go to Ephesians. Hold your finger there and go back. Go back to Romans. Alright, Romans the 8th chapter. For the law, verse 2 of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, it says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Then what's he going to be like? He's going to be like this. Now watch. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now how are you going to walk in the Spirit if you're not in the Spirit to begin with? Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Showing you that you can be absolutely born again and can conform to the Word of God from the inner life that lies within you. Sure, there'll be trouble, but you can overcome. Now watch. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're fighting each other all the time. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you come to the place of recognition. And recognition brings deliverance. See, that's the thing. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. Notice that. A whole bunch of mess which has to do with sexual perversion. The next, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Now notice, from the sexual, they go into satanic worship, completely off the word, idolatry, false gods, the whole bit, into hatreds, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, that's personal things, seditions and heresies, against their own nations. They're not worth a plug nickel to God. They're not worth a plug nickel to each other. They're not worth a plug nickel to the community. Completely bankrupt. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because if you're born again, you won't do them. All right, now watch. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice, one is called works. The other is fruit. Fruit is what is in the tree and comes forth with proper fertilization and water and sun. Works is what you exercise to do. Fruit is a growth from a life. Works is something which is produced through an energy or a strength. You're doing it. Now, he says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, it tells you that's character. You follow what I said? That is character. Now, we had our blackboard here, which we don't have. We could do something. We're going to go to 1 Peter, I think is what I want. If it's not 1 Peter, it's 1 Peter. No, 2 Peter. First chapter. Okay. Now, here's the pyramid Brother Branham talked about for 7 church ages. Now, verse 4, 3, according to divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and to virtue. Now, there's a life that Paul speaks of, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, in other words, it tells you, you that are born again, you absolutely begin having the divine nature flow through you, through that which you're birthed into as an individual and through every church age, until, as the prophet said, you're entirely sealed in by the Holy Spirit individually in the church. Now, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So our first of all, there's faith. Number 2 is virtue. Number 3 is knowledge. Number 4 is temperance. Number 5 is patience. Number 6 is godliness. Number 7 is brother kindness. And 8, which goes beyond 7, is Christ, which is love, which is God himself. Now, you will notice that every one of those pertain to character. For 7 solid church ages, let's understand this, through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, there has been the divine proliferation and manifestation of character. 7 ages. That's right. Now, what people don't understand in this message when I speak of the fact that Brother Branham said it is not character, it is not fruit, it is not nearness to God, it is not obedience, it is not gifts. Every single one of them that I mentioned is due to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. We do not repudiate them. We believe in them.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is this. That is not what we're talking about. Because when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he came to start redemption. And he stood there in his entirety and nobody had anything. Right. I don't care if the blood was shed. It just meant detriment to them. It just meant they'd have to trample it under his foot. It meant they'd answer to God, having crucified him. Now, not just the law coming down on them, but God himself giving grace coming down on them. How would they escape the damnation of hell? Now he started doing something when he stood there to divide himself. Now, for 7 ages, he's divided himself. And he's done it through the fruit of the Spirit and through manifestation. Now, let's take a look at 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and get the picture exactly right. Now, concerning the spirituals, the charismatic brethren were not ignorant. You know you were Gentiles, carried with you dumb idols, even as you were led. In other words, they used to prostrate themselves before those idols, thinking that God would come into the idols and make a communication and so on. Wherefore, give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. And no man can say Jesus Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit of God gives gifts. Okay. Different operations. Manifestation given to prophet. One is given a spirit of wisdom. So on and so on. Now, I want to find something here, if I can find it. All right, 12th chapter, yeah. For as the first 12, as the body is one and many members, and all members that one body being many, are one body, so also Christ. For by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. The baptism with the Holy Ghost gives you manifestation. Not just a life and character. So nobody says, look, gifts are gone. They're put on the shelf, as it were. The gift of the age is over for it. Because it's transpired. But they're still here. God didn't take anything. So he hasn't taken out in the Holy Ghost his oneness with God. He that joined the Lord is one spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're personal. Now, obedience. Sure. How can there be obedience without the Holy Ghost? Because it's God in you willing and doing His good pleasure. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? gifts. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? Nearness to God. Well, how do you get near? Except the Spirit lusts against the flesh and puts the flesh down. More consecration. See, these things we do not disannul. Whatever is in the baptism with the Holy Ghost to the individual has never been annulled. It's never taken away. Now, I've explained this on tape after tape, and yet I get a word back that a man himself confesses that he heard my tapes negatively. Which means he deliberately chose to twist my words. Now let him twist my words today. Because we'll see he gets the tape too, doesn't he? Let him twist my words today. Let me tell you flat. When you are born again, you have character.
Amen.
You're generally born again, there'll be gifts. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There'll be nearness. There'll be every one of those things. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a time when the baptism with the Holy Ghost literally runs out. Now that'll shock the britches off, but the prophet said so. Now I'm sorry for them. They're going to get naked. It's their fault they're naked, not mine. Let's get that flat. Ephesians, the first chapter. It says here in the 12th verse, concerning what puts you into the eternities, that we should be to the praise of His glory, first trusted in Christ, in whom also you hope. That word is hope, not trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice, you were sealed after you believe, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. In other words, there comes a time when redemption runs out. That is concerning you and me standing here in the spirit, physical bodies. We're waiting for the redemption now of our body. And there cannot be one body redeemed out of the soil until the last elected member comes in, baptized with the Holy Ghost and child trained. Now, that's what we're looking at. And Brother Branham categorically said the baptism with the Holy Ghost is temporary. Now they say they believe a prophet. Let's find out they believe a prophet.
Amen.
I'd ask you to believe me. Believe the prophet. He said so. I wouldn't have stumbled on that by myself. Don't think for 1 minute I'm quoting Lee Vail, as though Lee Vail found it. I'm quoting from the prophet. Like waves of glory in the whole thing. Now here we are, Christ coming into headship on waves of glory. This is the greatest thing. Pentecost has run out. Why go back to it?
Amen.
Under them was Trinity. Under them was a false understanding of Godhead. Of God Himself. Of who Jesus is. And what the Word is. Why go back to part of it? Because it's what took them off. Now you got to get the picture. Perfect. Okay. Now He tells you here. Which is the earnest, the down payment, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Now waves of glory. He's on waves of glory coming in the church. What will the last great wave of glory be? What it was in the beginning, manifest in human flesh. Jesus in bride form. That's right. That's exactly what it is. There's going to be a bride standing right here, chained. And she's going to have the mind of Christ. She's going to be absolutely one with that word the way they were in the beginning. As Brother Branham said, return to original Pentecost. I'm all for returning to original Pentecost, where the Spirit of God was there, complete Elohim, dividing Himself. Now there comes a time when the Great One stands again, and He doesn't divide Himself because division is over. Now then, the baptism with the Holy Ghost at this point brings you to where they were originally. No man had character. No man had anything. He saw a manifestation of the real thing. Then when the Holy Spirit came back, they had to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to even understand what was happening. And He stood there, starting to divide Himself.
And at the end time, when the division is fully over, then there's nothing more, and he stands there again. Because you see, what he was there pouring into is now completely full. So therefore, having been completely poured into, he stands here at the end time complete, in little tiny bride at the end time. And he's amongst us, in the midst of us. Now this is what these people, I say positively, choose to misunderstand in my preaching. And if you've misunderstood to this point, let me tell you, today you are without excuse. Because I'll give you a chance to ask questions, and I don't care if it's a male or female or a boy or girl, because I'm not interested too much in church order where women have to keep their mouth shut. I'm getting off the hook. And I mean it. Because this is a deliberate perversion of what I teach. And I'm going to tell you again, it wasn't character that the disciples had when he stood there. Although they had the best character of anybody. It wasn't nearness to God. It wasn't gifts. It wasn't anything. But it's when he stood there, it started. And when it's all over, it's all poured in, he stands there again to finish it. Now that's your Alpha and Omega, and you can't change it, because God never trusted anybody to start redemption in the garden. He came to the garden and did it himself, and now he is here to do it again.
Amen.
When it came time to deliver Israel, he did it himself. See, when it came time to deliver Abraham, to bring the sun on the scene, prefigured in Sodom and Gomorrah, he himself came. He didn't send somebody else. When God wanted to redeem mankind through blood, he came himself in a body that he formed for himself. Which became the blood of God, because the attributes were there. And the attributor is not the attributes. But without the attributor, there are not attributes. And the attributes explain, determine, and show who the attributor is. Yeah. You just begin to understand Logos, aren't you? I thought you one time heard a sermon that was going to finish Logos for everybody. We have just begun.
Amen.
I'm not negative, I'm positive.
Amen.
You challenge me I'm negative, I'll skin you alive and hang your hide on that wall. Because I'm positive. I know where I stand. I know where I stand. I read my 25 pages of notes just this morning on the Logos. And it thrilled me to read them, but I wrote under inspiration. I kid you not. I'm not boasting, I know where I stand. It's too late in the day not to know where you stand, my beloved brother and sister. If you know where you stand, I feel sorry for you. You better repent. There's the Holy Spirit waiting to baptize you. Brother Branham screamed out in 65, I think it was, or 64, and he preached the token. And in that token, he said, Luther, Wesley, waiting for that pillar of fire. Anytime evangelism. With Mr. Matson Bosin sitting there, knowing he was going on the foreign field, and Brother Branham said, I'm going too. He let Mr. Bosin know exactly what end-time evangelism was. Read it. Or we'll get the book and read it together. Or get a bunch of books and get the tape going. Let's find out what it is. It's not what people think it is. It's this hour, the gospel of the kingdom. Elohim is here. If he started, he's got to end it. Now he's ending this church age by his presence, and there's no more to be poured in. Seven church ages, seven messages. Now the next thing to come then, after that word went forth, would have to be God himself, which is love. All right, let's go and take a look at the words. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now it says here in the ninth verse, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. That tells you. What did you have in part? You had the word in part. You had the presence in part. You had your redemption in part. Because in your soul and your spirit was justified, but your body wasn't. For the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Now this is the hour when there's no more parts. I don't care what the Greeks say. They don't bug me one way or the other. Greek or no Greek. But when that which is perfect has come, what is perfect? It means finished, consummated, polished off, it's all over. So therefore, if you add its mark, if you take away its mark, you got to start over again. Merciful heavens, you got to start over again? Yeah. That's right. You know, the potter, Jeremiah, was a prophet. God said, you go down and see the potter down there, and the potter is making things, and you know how it is. I saw a potter do this myself, and he put the clay on the wheel, and he put the old treadle, zoop, 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 a little old stick in his hands, and he molded a lovely vessel, and he had it now. He said, that looks beautifully symmetrical, doesn't it? Oh, he said, that looks fine. And he took a wire, piano string wire, and he cut the vessel in two, as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Look inside of a man he shot. All right? Jeremiah said, hey, this thing's a mess. He said, start all over again. We ain't going to start over again, brother, sister. Amen. God doesn't do foolish things. You and I can do foolish things. Oh, we started all over for seven church ages. And we came up with the Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox and Lutherans and Wesleyans and God knows what, Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Pentecostals and our great, at the end, the great hodgepodge all poured into one. Everybody talking in tongues and kissing each other. One way, oh, merciful heaven. You talk an illegitimate house of prostitution. That's why they're called harlots. The church has become a house of prostitution. Amen. And anybody can go and get his carnality satisfied with the doctrine. Oh, brother, sister, what are we eating today? I want to ask you a question. Every table full of vomit, or we got something real for a change? We know in part, we prophesy in part. But what about when there's no more prophecy left? There's no more word left. That's it. For when Elijah comes, if he does come, and we're here when he comes, and he's got to come, so somebody's got to be here when he comes, it's going to burn, burn, burn. It's all over, right? Ah, we don't want that. Let's start over. Another 10,000 years. Now, come on, see? See where your trap goes? We're not here to fool if somebody says, well, I'm Greek and I can read this and I'm this and I can do this. Like one fellow, he says his character is impeccable. He said, my family's all saved, he said. That made him somebody. Brother Branham's family weren't. So let Big Brother Branham up, spit in his bones. He said, out of here, you dirty jerk. You said you're Elijah the prophet. You're nothing but a bum. Well, before you went away, you said your kids weren't saved. So out, William Branham, out! See where you go? That's just where you go. See, your tongue will get you every single time. You'll stand up and be somebody. You ain't nothing. And now that he's here, we're less than nothing when it comes to the reflection from Sinai. Sinners in the hand of an angry God. Good thing he's not our judge. He's our attorney. Then he turns around being our attorney, steps in the judge's seat and says, well, being your attorney, he said, I can't do anything else. And said, defend you, let you go. When you talk about scattering, right to glory. Amen. Oh, yeah. I always have loved dessert. Got a sweet tooth. Wish you had a sweet heart. That's coming. I'm not talking about my wife. I already had her. All right, we know in part. Prophesy in part. That which is perfect has come to an end, and part shall be done away. It's finished, it's gone. The word of God does not cease until it's fulfilled. It doesn't pass away. Six church ages have passed away, and seven is on the verge. See? Under the seventh seal. Now he said, when I was a child, spoke as a child, and so as a child became a man, I put away childish things. Now listen, let's watch now carefully what manhood is. Putting away childish things. The 11th and 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Actually, right through from 1 Corinthians 1 to chapter 12, he's telling you that's childish things. I am Presbyterian. I am a Greek. I am a bohunk. Who knows?
Brother Branham said the day of the great rider on the range, they just looked for the blood tag. It didn't care if it was Hereford or Shorthorn or Angus or what it was. They looked for the blood tag. It was a pure line. These people are funny. Now listen. Childish things. Fooling with gifts. Now, I'm not saying everybody that has gifts is fooling with them. I'm just saying they're fooling with them according to the prophet. Because when he set the church in order, he said to Brother Neville, it's on tape, it's in the books, church order, he said, we'll find out if it's a bastard child, and it is if it can't take correction. And those people up and left Branham Tabernacle. And they went someplace else, and I hope this is just a gossip. But they say the women, they are cutting their hair and wearing slacks now. You don't fool around, brother, sister. You don't fool around. You put away childish things. What are childish things? Ever and anything but is that word.
Amen.
See? Now, you're not fooling around anymore. Now, you become a man. And at this time, you don't see through a glass darkly, but you see a face. Now, have anybody ever heard himself face to face with himself? Oh, once in a while when you examine your conscience, I have faced up to myself. This is not talking about that. This is when that which is perfect has come, you look in his face. You're looking at the revealed word of God. Which, as Brother Branham said, just to think, the same pillar of fire that revealed the word to Paul is here, gave the word to Paul, is here revealing it. Now, just hold our thought right here, because I'm going back to Pentecost. You tell me that that's Pentecost. It wasn't. You know why? If it is, then we got a body ministry and anybody can receive the word. And the word was not given until after Pentecost to the Apostle Paul. This book, this was written after Pentecost. Paul had the revelation for the Gentiles, and it wasn't at Pentecost. It was the one who was dividing himself that stood with Paul. That gave the revelation. And the same one that divided himself over seven ages with character and gifts and closeness and obedience and all these things is here once more revealing the word. Now it says right here, when you see that, and you're not guessing anymore, that means the seals are open. For when the book was sealed, they handed it to the man and said, hey, read this. Let me see if I can find this in the book of Isaiah. I don't know. I gave that the other night. About chapter 28 or so, somewhere there. Let me see if I can find it.
I can see 25 there. That looks good, but that's not what I want. And I can see here, I see also the spirit of judgment is upon the people. All tables are full of vomit. In verse 9 of 28, it says, to whom shall he teach knowledge and make understand doctrine, them that weans their breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, and so on. Stammers not tongue speak to his people. In other words, with derision. The word of the Lord comes as derision.
Because they just don't believe it. They say, well, come on, that can't be it. And they go right back to character and all these other things which we admit are it under the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But the baptism with the Holy Ghost did not bring the word. A prophet in the presence of Elohim brought the word.
Amen.
Now you've got to have the same thing again. And if he ever comes in fullness, see? And we've had the baptism for 2,000 years. If he ever comes in fullness, it's only for one reason. Word. Why? Because that's why he came to begin. In the beginning was the word. There's no other reason. Now, I'm trying to find it here. Oh yeah. 29th chapter. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. The eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. It's not the one I wanted, but that's going to happen. I shouldn't write this down anyway in a big, you know, something to mark it. But anyway, the idea is that they hand the book to the man, and he said, look, he said, I can't read. They said, well, tell us what it is. He said, I'm uneducated. Nobody can open the book. So what happens at the end time? The book is opened, by the Lamb. Now that's the time the redemption runs out. So the baptism with the Holy Ghost has run out. See? But at the same time, He's poured everything in, so there's nothing more. So you got the stature of a perfect man. You got Christ standing there one more time. And He which was the cornerstone is now the capstone. So therefore, where are the feet? They're on the ground. Now what's on the ground? The foundation. So you now you got it perfect from the feet to the head. Solid word. Now with solid word, there'll be a bride to solid word. See? And now you got it where, having come from the feet, it's reproduced itself in the head, word upon word, doctrine upon doctrine, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, until there's no more left. And when there's no more left, He stands here. How else could it be? Because He's pouring Himself in. Now, we got Him standing here. Right back to word. Right back to Logos. Now, how'd He come in the beginning? Not at Pentecost, brother, sister. No way, shape, and form. No way, because at Pentecost, He did not pour Himself out as the Word revealed. It was the baptism with the Holy Ghost that when the Word came, they'd know right away, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. Now, you tell me people got the Holy Ghost and turned down the Word of the hour? There's no way. So they've got themselves in a bind. Now they're talking about character and no Holy Ghost. Now they're talking about oneness and no Holy Ghost. Now they're talking about gifts and there's no Holy Ghost. The prophet said so. Now, I just challenge them to tell me I'm not preaching what the prophet preached. They can go negative all they want. Let them be negative. Let them be negative. But don't anyone around here try. You say, well, you really... I said, take your own skin in your line. You might have thought the snake was the only one who could change his. Well, I'm not going to skin anybody, I just tell you that. See, look. All right. Now, we were back here. Where are we back here? We were seeing. Now, we got through. We got through for a bit of this. I want to try to find my place now. Got through quite a bit of this in Corinthians, and we were over here in Galatians. I say, let's go back to Galatians, see if there's anything I want to see here. Yeah. Now, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on, and temperance, and all these things against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. We don't deny it. And if there should ever be a time on earth when there is character, should be now, in contradistinction to what is out there in this world. But let us understand this one thing. The character had better be of God.
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham said, find a bride of such character that she'll stand still and listen to the word. Now, there's character. He said, find that bride, he said, of such character, she'll stand still in the waters of separation until she's got those robes. Because the Bible said, you wash your robes back in Revelation 22. Now, Brother Branham showed what character was. Now, look, let's face it, we all know this. If God has given us eternal life by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and He has... If that seed that was in that woman at the well came to life, see, by the anointed word that came to her, and there was no seed in the Pharisees, so the word of life could anoint it. And brother, sister, we have the same thing today being seed. Because we are sons, God sends forth His Spirit in our hearts whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, if that's the case, we will be producing that which is set forth here, plus the fact. I know where I was now. Just got it back to Ephesians. That fourth chapter. I don't need too much of it. Verse 15, holding the truth in love, growing up unto Him in all things. Not into Him, but you're growing up unto Him in all things which is the head. See, the body's coming up. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. That means every measure is finished. The increase is over. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians again. 13th chapter. Now, when I was a child, I spoke child, understood as a child. I thought as a child. I became a man to put away childish things. Now the manhood part here is seeing face to face. Okay. The full word of Almighty God. All right. 2 Corinthians. The third chapter tells you in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now what face to face is it? His face to your face. That's not baptism of the Holy Ghost, my brother, my sister, in no way, shape, and form. No way, shape, and form. Because that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, your hope of glory. This is Christ amongst you. Now, what are you doing with open or unveiled faith? You are seeing Him who is the Word. And you are being changed from glory to glory. Now, when did that start? It started under Luther. Begin growing under Wesley. Because we're growing up to a place of immortality. We're growing to the place where nobody gets the Holy Ghost anymore. You're getting to a place where the Holy Ghost Himself stands there. Elohim. Absolutely. You're getting to that place. And you can't deny it because the Bible says so. Now, Galatians, again. All right. It says in Galatians, the fourth chapter, now I say, the heir as long as he's a child differs nothing from a servant, though be Lord of all. He's under tutors and governors, the time appointed the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage on the elms of the world. For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made a woman under the law, to redeem them, or under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice, this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, He sent your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Therefore you're no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now Brother Branham brought that out and showed you, that when the son, which is a genuine son, goes through his training, positively is manifested to be that son, then that's the adoption, that's the ceremony, and this goes plumb into the resurrection. The fullness of the adoption goes into the resurrection. Every single age has the manifested sons, but at the end time, there is a group standing here that doesn't die. Now let's see those same sons in Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, he said here, verse 14, as many said by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, it tells you right there, you're full of the Holy Ghost. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father, Father. Now, it tells you right there, under this adoption, there comes the freedom from fear. The spirit of salvation in our spirit, we are children of God. Your children heirs, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be you suffer, then we be glorified. In other words, that's child training. Child training of Hebrews 12 that Paul wrote. I reckon the suffering of the present time are not really being compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He's talking about glory. Now, the glory started back in Wesley and Luther's day. Coming up, the greater glory is going to be now. That's why it says the Father of glory. The Father of the manifesting of Him. Who is in it? Then children heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Go on. It will be glorified with Him. I reckon the suffering not to be compared. The glory is revealed. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now it tells you right there what we're looking for. We're looking for the completed manifestation on the grounds that nature is going to conform once we have conformed. See? Now. Okay. I wish I really knew this Bible. I can halfway quote verses, but I can't do anything else other than just halfway quote them. Okay. Let's see if we can get it here. We, verse 18 again, the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. We all open face, unveiled face, rolling into glass, the glory of the Lord. Now that's this was coming in. Now remember that it's a face-to-face. Perfection has come. The fullness of here. Every single person's got the Holy Ghost or is in the last little edge of receiving the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter because nobody knows when the last one's in the last one's child train. They're changed into the same image
from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. It started back there, and now it's to the place where all in all is here. It's completely finished. We're waiting for the manifestation, which means we're going to be changed. Now, it tells you. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, right now, Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. Now, what is that doing? Now, the image of God means a complete copy. So, the presses are beginning to roll. At this point. When the image becomes clear, when Christ is fully revealed in His Word, when the seals are off, when darkness is over, when childhood is over, when manhood comes, when the church is in order, all of these things are going to be done by the Spirit of God as we become unveiled from creeds and dogmas, and the Word becomes plain. Then that Word, with the life of God, begins to work in this flesh until this flesh begins to conform to that image. I finally remember where the verse is. Romans, the 12th chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world. All right. You ready for it? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, transfigured. All right, now how many of you people are ready to present your bodies today to be transformed? You say, Brother Bill, I'd like it, but I don't know if this is the hour. See, you're not going to make it. You're going to sit here and not make it? You got hopes, you got dreams, you got ambitions, you want a little more fun. Like the bunch in Tucson kept saying, well, we better get married because the rapture is going to take place. And I told him right to faces. I said, you bunch up here. If the rapture takes place, you'll be trying to grab a woman on the way up. Told my wife that about her coffee. I'm worse than she is now. I said, Mama, let's face it. You on your way up in the rapture, you're going to want another last cup of coffee. That was just kidding her. I'm serious. Where are you standing this morning, this afternoon? By the transforming of your mind. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Pentecost, my brother, my sister. You had better have had your personal Pentecost. But let me tell you something. That's not going to get you there. This is. Because Pentecost had nothing when that pillar of fire appeared and began splitting itself amongst the people. And it takes that same one, brother, sister, to bring about a resurrection. Now it says, I beseech you, present your bodies alive, not dead and in the ground. They couldn't do that till this hour, which is reasonable. Be not conformed to the world system. Now let's get this grant. You ready for it? In the Garden of Eden, it was religion. It was religion. And it's always been religion. It's always been spiritual warfare. It's always been God against Satan and Satan against God. And now it's come to the place of church against bride. Come out of her, my people. And when they come up, there comes a mixed multitude amongst them. And boy, do they stir us all up. Especially the hornet's nest that I got inside of me just waiting for one poke and the hornets come buzzing up. You say, see, Bill, you don't have it. I'm set for the defense of the gospel, Berg. Let's get that flat.
Praise
you can sit around and pick your nose if you want to pretend you're a peaceful man. If that's all you got, shame on you, as far as I'm concerned. I know how to start a fight, but I tell you, Brother Brand said, it's time the gloves are off. And if this message is not worth fighting for and explaining it and doing your dead level best to let the saints of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, know where they stand, then you might as well step down and go someplace else. The only reason I'm not someplace, I guess I might as well admit the truth. Yeah, I can't quite make it. Not that I want to leave you or anything else, but there's only so much strength I got and that's all I got. Now listen, and be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's literally change from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Go through the process of metamorphosis. Which is exactly what it says over here in 2 Corinthians. See? Change. That word change is transformed. It's the same word in Matthew concerning Christ and Moses and Elijah, transfigured. All right. At the end time, when the church is set in order, and only a prophet can do it, when the same pillar of fire returns, revealing the same word, that is the end of Pentecost. But the fruit of Pentecost does not die. It's just we keep on telling people, look, character is not what is going to give you the transformed body. Because Abraham, the type, was transformed to youth in spite of him being a liar and making his wife lie. And he even lied after he was transformed. Now, that's not stretching the type. I'm not putting that as a type we're going with the millennium change and lie. I'm just telling you, don't get any ideas that even though you've been born again and you've got character, that's going to do it. Because the prophet specified the character to stand still and hear a message. See? All right. Be transformed. Be transfigured. And it tells you through the mind. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians again. So we're going to look at this thing. We don't want to fool ourselves. Okay? Let's get her here. You know, we might go a little later on something else. We all with open faces. Unveiled faces, beholding as a glass, the glory of the Lord. All right? Who's the glory of the Lord? We know that Christ himself is beholding Christ. The anointed are changed into his very image. He's the very outraying of God. And we become the outraying of God. Now, how was he the outraying of God? In the flesh, my brother, sister, in the flesh. The attributes. Right? Now, what attributes is he revealing today which he didn't reveal previously, and he couldn't to a bride, though he manifested them on earth? I am the resurrection and the life. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. He said, you believe this? Therefore, you present your bodies a living sacrifice for this hour. And when you do, you're through with organization. You're through with every creed and dogma. And the squeeze and the pressure will come down, don't worry. You'll get squeezed on every side. You will be deliberately misunderstood. Just like I am. And if you're a part of this, you will be too. So where's it going to place you with your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your in-laws? Where's it going to place you? Yeah. We're going to place you with your kids that you love. If you've got the guts to stand up here like I have and say, I don't have a wife anymore. I don't have a father, a mother, a sister, a brother, or children anymore. It comes down to one thing. That's where I stand. You can say what you want. And you do what you want. But I've thrown down the glove this afternoon on a challenge. To where do you stand? Oh, my dear father. What if your father was a drunken, no good bum liar? What is like Charlie Branham was? His dad booed him out for his ancient religion. His friends turned him down. And when they found out he had something that no man had, and even the historians say, not for 2,000 years has a man come on the scene like William Branham. Those that should have known better. Spit in his face and walked off. And the Jesus only. Now let's get this flat. The Jesus only bunch. And I think UPC is that bunch. Made no hesitation in saying, if he'd have been alive, he'd have come to us. And then thank God that false prophet is dead. Where do you stand today? Just a little insight. You might know yourself. Where's your father? Where's your mother today? Where's your priest? Where's your pastor? Where's this? I don't ask you to stand with me. Forget it. I should need you to stand with me, and you shouldn't need me to stand with you. Stand with him.
Amen.
When the swelling of the Jordan, my brother, sister, take place, Elisha was right behind Elijah. And when Elijah struck the water with the mantle, the water separated. And Elisha tippy-tippy-toe over. He didn't do one thing except walk over. It was Elijah, did he?
Yes,
Elijah's here today. Brother Brown said the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a bunch of people at Pentecost. Not someone standing up and voicing some opinion whether the prophet was right or saying something. It was taking every word the prophet said. As Paul said, he said, did the word of God come to you people from Pentecost? No, he said, you've had your private Pentecost. He said, each one of you. There's a prophet among you, no doubt. And if there's a prophet, let him acknowledge that I'm telling the truth. And there's spiritual people. Surely people born again amongst you. Although you got a mixed multitude here, he said. He said, some follow Peter, and they sure did. And some followed Apollos, and they sure did. And some followed Paul. He said, forget it, follow Jesus. He said, I didn't got you. He said, did I ask you to get baptized in my name? He said, shame on such nonsense. And he turned around and said, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, if any true gifts among you, any true gifts, and any truly gifted person, let's get down to where truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, they will admit, he said, that what I say is the commandment of God. He said, not what you say or anybody else says, but what I say. He said, I'm the authority. Now, where did he get it? Pillar of fire. And he said, the same one here, Brother Branham said, that gave the word is here revealing it. That did not happen at Pentecost. And it did not happen when Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. It happened after Paul was filled, and because he was a prophet. And let me tell you a fact. William Branham, though full of the Holy Ghost, and the William Branham had a mind that went blip, 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 conscious and unconscious. And he could see visions and go into a trance. And though his mouth was made a special way to say special words, I don't know about that. He himself, it was a dream. Maybe it was. Like Jeremiah, in his mother's womb, completely formed in a special way to be a prophet. And I say to William Brown, ha, prophesy, old boy, prophesy. Have a vision for me, Brother Brown. And he comes right back. You have a dream for me, Brother Vail. Prophet me or no difference. No difference at all. No difference at all. It takes God.
Amen.
And if God isn't there, I don't care how well a prophet is made. Any more than if you don't have gasoline in your car. I don't care if you've got a beautiful, the nicest Rolls Royce. I don't think they're so tremendous anyway. I don't like Jaguars or anything else. I don't know what I like in a car. Fat. Go back 30 years ago or 40, some of those cute little old cars they had, you know. Like the old Nash that had the rumble seat. That's a pretty car for some in my life, I think. Or one of those old Hudsons with a nose like that, you know. It was way longer than that. Well, you could put a tractor inside the nose of that thing. But you had no gas in it. So it sits there. Yeah. Sure. And you got an airplane. But somebody stole the spark plug. And 1,000 savages are racing toward you. In one of these Wild Western sort of deals. But this is for real. Oh, you got an airplane. Why don't you go somewhere? You go out somewhere. And you're a pilot. Why don't you go somewhere? Say, sorry, no spark plug. That's exactly what a prophet is without God. He ain't going nowhere here.
Amen.
Now, that's the way Paul was. And William Branham, prophet of God, that they say was a prophet of God, stood. And he said, how wonderful to know that the same one who gave the word to Paul is here redeemed. Now, why is he here? He is here because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because you've had your Pentecost. And we returned to original Pentecost. Original. Where the real God that gave his life for 2,000 years. A little modi come to each one is standing right here now to say, look at this resurrection time. The same one that they saw back there is the same one we see. It's the same one that changed their lives through revelation. It's the same one now changing our lives through revelation. But people don't want to stand up and say, let's read it in Hebrews. Come on, let's find out what's incumbent upon us in Hebrews. It's only, quarter past three? Man, we've got 2 hours and a half to go yet before communion. I ain't gonna preach 2.5 hours, though. Good news for you. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now hold it! You gotta leave something. What are they? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. That means, right at this point, there's no more doctrine of dead works and faith. Forget it. Don't preach it. Says so. Not even faith toward God won't work. Repentance won't work. Why? Because it says perfection. Forget it. I read my Bible right as far as I know. Maybe these guys read it better than I do. But I don't read it because Brother Branham said this was when William Branham went out. He had a vision. Remember? The book kept running, opening up in the sixth chapter. And in the vision he saw a man in white grow. And the man in white was throwing seed all around the place. Then a man in black followed behind him, throwing more seed. And this was Hebrew 6, not Matthew 13. The final sowing. You leave it all. Why? The tables are full of vomit. This is misunderstood. The laying the foundation of repentance is misunderstood. It's all gone. Faith toward God, all gone. Doctrines of baptism and the laying on of hands, all gone. And a resurrection of the dead. Now hold it. We're not even resurrected. A resurrection hasn't even taken place. It says forget it. Why? Because you won't need it. Perfection has come. Now what does that mean? Very good, let's find out. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of the flesh. For since by man came death, by man came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ in his presence. Now tells you right there, when he's present, the dead, come up. All right, let's find out about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll get back to Hebrews again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul speaking here concerning the living and the dead. Verse 13. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Now he said to those that are going to be at the time of the resurrection, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them must also sleep, and Jesus will God bring forth with him. In other words, God's going to bring forth the dead just like he brought forth Jesus. Glorified, resurrected body. Transfigured. Now he's going to do it. It says he's going to do it. We stand by the word, Lord, we shall lie in the end of the presence of the Lord, shall not take preeminence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. Now the very one that's going to bring him out of the grave is going to do our changing. Now Brother Brown said it was a message. Is that right? Okay. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians again. See, you just got to keep going back and forth until, not until your mind gets weary and you say, I just turned Brother Veil off, or I just stopped thinking. You better think today, because this may be your last chance. See, a little while ago I told you, and I'm not guessing. As far as I know, something is on the verge of happening, and I keep holding back and holding back as though I could stem a tide. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this. I started what I am preaching when he said to me, listen, he didn't only come to die. Because his death didn't do it, he had to go down and get him. Now that's the turn toward the resurrection, my brother, my sister.
Amen.
And if you're in doubt as to what I've been trying to tell you the last few weeks, I'm trying to tell you this. As far as I know, whatever talks to me is letting me know that the corner has been turned. How long, I don't know. But we're into the resurrection period. Somehow before God, I believe it. There's something personal here for me which I don't understand myself. But he gives me whatever any gift I have is for the people. Now listen, it tells you here, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, transfigured. The Lord descending with the shout, transfigured by the word. That's not Pentecost. The word came after Pentecost to the Gentiles. But if you're truly original Pentecost, show me where they had the gifts in need and out of order. Show me where they had anything but that life. And that's all they depended on. Let's get back to original Pentecost. Not Pentecostal stuff we've seen through the ages. Let's get back to original. When he stood there, and it was the giver of life himself, starting the whole thing. And they didn't even have the word. The best Peter could do was stand up and declare that that one that died, according to the Old Testament, was that one that was risen. But it took Paul to come along and lay the whole thing out.
That's not Pentecost. Now, they won't get what I'm saying. I think I'm here just take 50 times. They're not going to get it. I might as well shut my mouth. But I ain't shutting my mouth.
Amen.
Not about to. Let's go back to Thessalonians again. The Lord descended with a shout. Now, that's not said to be the voice either. That is literal voice. It isn't. It's Elijah. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, it says there is no preeminence given to the people standing here. Why? Because the same one that raises them is the same one that's got to do something with his word. Lazarus, come forth! Scream the name of every single star that lies there. And everyone will come forth to shine in his glory with glorified bodies. And that same voice, it starts in a shout. It's bringing us face to face with him who stands here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, they want to put that in, the physical return, when he stands up there. But Brother Branham said it was a shout. And he said the shout was a message. Now listen, let's get this right. If it's a physical return and he's up there, is he going to take a megaphone and shout a message? Hey, this is the message, old bride. This is your Jesus up here, and he is giving a message. Now come on, let's get down to where it's, see how stupid it is? I want to hear their answer. They choose to misunderstand what I preach. They deliberately choose to misunderstand. Now, let's get this flat. I want them to tell me how it's done. Brother Branham said it was his message. Then is William Branham going to come back in the midair and he isn't really Jesus Christ? He said he wasn't now. Now, if a prophet is really Jesus Christ and he lies to you, who needs him? Just tell one lie and tell another. But I didn't know Jesus Christ could be born to Charlie Nella Branham. Because if he could be, then you can take that kind of a man and not only kill him in a car wreck, you could crucify him. What good did his blood do? Somebody's messed up. And we're not messed up. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Come on down. With a message. And that word shout is klusma, which is a military command. Well, let's go a little further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. In the military command, they that are Christ that is coming, verse 23, is present. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, and put down all authority and power. In his presence, he starts to do this, for he must reign. Till he put all enemies under his feet. Now you better be careful what person you're talking about here. And check with your Psalms. Let's read a little further. The last enemy should put under his feet is destroyed to death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are under, it is manifest he is left out, which should put all things under him. So is God saying, I'm putting all things under myself except myself? No. Jesus right now, great high priest, Melchizedek, he climbed on his father's throne. And God says, starting right now, with my presence, that I'm here to raise the dead, I'm going to start to put all things under your feet. This is your hour of preeminence. The marriage supper, the bride, the whole thing. When everything turns loose and starts screaming, and nothing can stop it. Because the Lamb is on Mount Zion, so to speak, spiritually. Now listen, we have put on what he said, he is left out, put on the under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject. Now that word subdued isn't right. The Son himself subject to him, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That word is still from the shout, which is military command, which means in a military order. The commander of the host of Israel stands here to lead his soldiers. Now when he does, he brings up each one in his own order. Seventh church age comes up first to be with us. Brother Brand said, you can't recognize any other age. John looked, he couldn't recognize anybody there because that wasn't his age he saw. Number six comes up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But before that, we have to give him preeminence. Before that, we've got to see him face to face so we can begin to get our change. Before that, he has a word for us. And that word of late
in our bodies causes the cells, when they already are starting through revelation. So when they come up, the atoms in our bodies begin to change around the living Word of God, and we have our own resurrection, so to speak. Tell me, does that take place up there? It takes place here. Oh, yeah. When he's up there, my brother, my sister, in the air, so to speak, it's all over. The one that's in our midst now will become incarnated to us when he goes up just ahead of us, lifting us up and taking us. There is that body that he slipped into to reincarnate himself and become kings of kings and Lord of lords. No, nobody denies character. Nobody denies gifts. Nobody denies anything. It is these people who willfully, and I mean willfully, because it is willful. You say, Brother Vail, I don't believe that. You don't believe the Bible. You're too nice. I love you, but you're too nice. For it says, if we sin willfully after we've heard the knowledge of the truth. So you see, your niceness didn't pay off. There's a time to be nice. God's nice. He's sweet. He's love. But the same prophet said, the one that is here in mercy and grace turns that throne into judgment. And when he appears again, and he's appearing now, it will be in judgment on those nations that forgot God. Willful. Back to Hebrews 6. Listen to me. It says resurrection of eternal judgment. We won't be in that either. Eternal judgment means the final judgment, no recourse. Lake of fire, or come my blessed on my right hand, inherit the kingdom. No recourse. You know, you don't like to go to a sale that says as is and find you were took. You don't like the sale or the contract that says no recourse. Then you won't like this either, so get right today. Because there's no recourse. Turns on them. This will do if God permit. What if God didn't permit? He didn't permit. When's he going to permit? At the last enlightenment. They'll taste the heavenly gift like they did the grapes of Eschol. They actually found themselves in a position of the realization through experience of that immortality in the millennium. That they did, yep. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. The powers of the world to come. Having fallen away, there's no more chance to ever change your mind. Okay. Turn me off, if you want to turn me off. I'm going to need of you in a nice way. Because, see, I'm not negative. I'm positive.
Amen.
I'm positively right.
Amen.
You bet your life, you better stay in it, because I am right. I kid you not. But even unto this day, when Moses has read, the veil is upon the heart. Why? Because their minds were blinded. Now the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is at liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed the same image. See, it's all come together. It's hard to find you sometimes, but listen here. If they shall fall away, they cannot change the minds. Because they crucified the Son of God, putting open shame. We all with open face, unveiled face, through the changing of the mind. Huh? Come on. Come on. Are you convinced? Look, if you're not, you better get convinced now. Be conformed not to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now you see, God's got to do it for them to get them out of the ground. God's got to do it for us. But these people turned it right. They turn away. Now it says here, having fallen away, there's no more chance ever to change your mind. And remember, the message to Laodicea is change your mind. Now, how can you change your mind except he's there to change it? Well, you're to the place where you don't even believe in a resurrection anymore for you. When Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce, I went away because I was confused, and I said, so what? That sure wasn't for Lee Dale, I can tell you flat, because he's married, he ain't going to get divorced. That's why these guys are all messed up and bunged up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Resurrection's not for me either, by the grace of God. Although certainly I would like to have both to get out of here. You might as well get that flattened if I can without jumping off a building. You know what it is. when you know what's over there, the grass is greener, the skies are bluer, and everything is the way that it should be in the first place, why do you want to stick around here? Come on. Now you say, well, Vale, you're kind of down in the dumps and you're morbid, like, because you think you've seen it all. Look, I ain't seen nothing yet, but I'm grinning. Amen. What I really want to see. The rest of the stuff, forget it. Tickets around the world, look, I've had them, you can have them. Anybody want it, you tell them you're Lee Vale and you can get the ticket. When you get there, play the tape. I don't care what you do. That's the truth. He said you don't have to go to Africa. So I'm going to Africa. Said, not the time to go to New Zealand. I think I'll see it on the way up. Look at it. It says here, no more repentance. They crucified the Son of God afresh. Now for the earth that drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. Now we're earth. Bring forth briars. Sickness, disease, bad eyesight, bad hearing, bad everything. Rotten nerves, indigestion, stomach problems, liver, gallstones, you name it. Filth, sin, degradation, crime, corruption, anarchy. That's all it is. It's a bunch of filth and corruption, Brother Brand said. Now this earth that drinks in that rain, because the mind is a part of it. You see, it's the spirit's part of the mind. Drinking it in. It's a little bit of an allegory, you might say, a little bit of a simile or something there. All right. Seven ages, seven rains. Now it says here, what's it going to do? Bring forth briars, or is it going to bring forth herbs? Something for which you were made in the first place. What were you made for in the first place? His image. Adam was in the image of God. Broke the image. Now we're going back. Now it says right here how it's going to be done. The Word's going to do it. Now listen, we've had a lousy word for almost 2,000 years. Misapprehension of Jesus, misapprehension of God, misapprehension of Word. The bride's a loser on all three counts. Get her back to her virginity. Get her back to the Word. Sure. All right, let's find out. Oh, I'm going to let you go right away now. How long have I been preaching? Oh, don't even ask that question. Pass the plate the second time. Or open the door. Do something. You're going to kill me here before so, and I'm bad enough time going down to Beaumont dying down there without coming home and dying. Listen. When times refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus, which was appointed, proclaimed in advance unto you. But the heavens got to hold him to the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Now, what was spoken by the prophet Paul? The virgin's silent. What was said by John? You've left your first love. She's got to come back. And she will come back. I will restore, saith the Lord. I'm going to restore her. See, and when she's restored, there comes the rapture. So there you are. Now, if I've confused you, you're meant to be confused. If I've helped you, you're meant to be helped. It took a long time. But I want you to see this, brother, sister. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the answer to a changed life, to the character, to the gifts, to everything that's in that word. But it is not the answer to the resurrection. It is a stepping stone to it. The answer is God has to do it when it runs out. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out. As Irenaeus said, when the last child of God is the last seed is brought in, then you come, and Brother Branham added correctly, when the last one is brought in and child trained. Because they've got to be child trained. Now, where is the child training coming from? He's got to become a man. How does he become a man? By seeing him face to face. By putting aside all these things of the past and coming up to the present. When you're man enough to stand up and say, look, Lord, here's my body. Not like these bunch of kooks that put on fancy gowns like the Seventh-day Adventists got up on some hilltop And they said, now he'll come tonight. No, it's presenting your body now. If before the cock crow, you're ready to go. I'm a part of it. Presenting your body now. If it's 10 years down the road, presenting it now. If I miss even it and going to the death, I know I'm going to come up again. But it's now at this hour you present yourself. You can't present yourself with your creeds and your dogmas and looking back all the time and wondering about this and wondering about that. Present your body today for glorification. I mean, really present them. Because only one thing going to change you. And then see where that takes you. To see where that takes you. Because the rest doesn't take you there. This will, if anything's going to take you. The other won't do it, my brother, my sister. I don't care because seven ages, for almost seven, they've gone down and died. So the baptism and the blood didn't do it. It'll get them out of the ground. Only in this way that it makes them candidates to be brought up. They don't come up by themselves. Only God raised the dead. And Paul said, Agrippa, listen to me. I stand here in jeopardy. I'm hated because I believe God raises the dead. Stand up in this hour, the hour of the resurrection. That's what it's all about. Come on, that's right, Jeffy. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know of ourselves we're not only nothing, we'd be less than nothing, but because of you, in your presence, oh God, we know that we just absolutely are standing in the last hour. I might not be here, Lord. I know that. I understand that absolutely, but I know I'm in that hour. Because your own word is said, when you see this happen and that happen, you know that hour is near. You know that absolutely this is that day. This is that hour. And Father, we know that generation shall not pass away. How can a generation pass away if there really was Elijah? Merciful God, if there's a shout yet to come, if there's this, there's that, we don't understand. Something has been said wrong somewhere. If the prophet meant only that there was a shout yet to come, then we're wrong. I don't know how it's going to come. I'm completely confused. I'm already gone. But Lord, whatever said at that time to him supernaturally, and that rainbow appeared, and I believe that was absolutely Logos. Elohim in a form to be discerned and seen. Saying through his lips, your message shall forerun that absolute second coming. Even if John personally did it, it'll take your message. And now message is doing it, if that's the shout. If this isn't it, then we'd just be in utter confusion. Because what would come? What would come to supersede? Well, we believe this is it, Lord. We believe you're here. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Absolutely, Lord. These are our bodies and you can have them to change them. You can have them, Lord, to change them. We'd like to be changed anyway. We're changing as it is and it's going down to the grave. So, Father, the other change would be that much better if we had an ounce of common sense. Not that we got it, but we can have revelation. And that'll do it. So help us as we present our bodies living sacrifice, knowing that resurrection is coming, but we won't be in it on the grounds that we die in. And eternal judgment, we're not going to be in it either. We'll be a part of it, sitting in that throne by the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, help us to, when we do take off the gloves, to take them off in a way that isn't out to get anybody's blood, which it isn't out to get anybody's blood today, but I got to stand for the truth, Lord. I don't believe that I've been vituperating anybody and been malicious and been derogatory or anything else. Not that I can't feel anything like that. Nor do I feel like crowing over something as though I was a crowing rooster, something stupid. I don't feel like that at all either, Lord. But I believe what I've said and hope I've said it in such a way that if there is a record, the record is clear. That we don't deny anything that's attributed to the baptism with the Holy Ghost, but we refuse to attribute to the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is what we have of you. When you yourself, Lord, will be here to raise the dead, I will not take that credit from you. I will not take that glory from you, Lord. I'll stand here and believe you're here to raise the dead and to see Brother Branham come out of the grave and see Daddy Bosworth. I believe he'll be a part, if not this, the sixth, whatever it is. There'll be those come out and then we'll stand here and what a jubilee going on and pretty soon all over the earth they're coming out and then pretty soon we're changed and we'll meet you in the air, whatever that means. But we know that we believe absolutely that that's what we're into this hour. So, Father, I just pray that everyone here in divine presence will go into a state of repentance of this hour, the renewing of the mind. the last opportunity to stand with it today and realize that here we go, we're standing with that word. And when that word goes, we go with it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the word come to life. And that word of the hour come to life in every single one of us. We shall not die, but live. Yes, Lord, we appreciate that. That today we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Now, Lord, as we just separate for a little while and then come together again for the emblems that signify your death till you come and we take it anew in the millennium. Lord, may it be a time of rejoicing in a reality. Father, we believe it. We will not step aside from reality. We believe that which is perfect has come. Now unto the King immortal, eternal, immortal, visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's fine. Just consider yourself dismissed. We'll get back here after a while for communion service. So the Lord bless you.